everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Wabam Entertainment Podcast. I'm your host, Katie Gilstrap, and with me, I have Michael Thomas.
Gonna crash the mode today, folks.
And Landon Bell.
Shout out to all you moody moms out there.
Okay, and tonight, we're gonna be talking about Titans and Young Justice in honor of the Young Justice Season 3 premiere that's happening this week. That's when this episode's going to come out, I think. Right, Michael?
Now I have to make it this week, don't I?
Sorry. Sorry, buddy. So, first off, we're going to kick it off with Titans. Titans ended its Season 1 this past week on December 21st. So, we're going to talk non-spoilers first. We're going to talk about how the season went, what we liked about certain characters, what we disliked. Got to give Michael room to talk. And then we're going to have a bit of a spoilers discussion, just so you're all aware we will be talking spoilers. So, and then we'll talk about Young Justice afterwards. So, Michael, why don't you kick us off with some thoughts on the non-spoilers of the season.
Spoilers. Okay. So Titans was a bit of a mixed bag. There was a lot of good. There was a lot of bad. Overall, I think it could have ended in a good place if they didn't cut their season finale. They shorted themselves one episode, which you can really feel it towards the end there. Mostly the good was Dick Grayson and Corey Anders. They worked really well. The bad stuff is sort of the unbalanced tone. At times it would get too dark, and then at times they would get too jokey. It didn't feel like it meshed very well. But overall, it was a decent first season, I thought. A lot of room to grow.
It feels to me like a show that really didn't know what it wanted to be from the start. And it slowly evolved over time into something that worked really well, at least from the character arcs. But yeah, heads up, I have not seen the season finale yet, so I can't comment on how that went down. But from everything everybody's told me, I'm not shocked. It feels like when they finally realized what they wanted the show to be, they were okay with making compromises and sacrifices so that season 2 can be even better.
Yeah, I would agree with Michael. It had its ups and downs. I really liked the character development that we had towards the latter end of the season. There were some episodes like the Hawk and Dove solo episode where we get a little bit of their backstory. That episode was so messed up. It gets really dark. But everything else, the beginning of the season was kind of, what are we doing kind of thing. But yeah, like Landon and Michael both said, they kind of figured it out as they got towards the end of the season, and we got some really cool character development. But the season finale definitely doesn't feel like a season finale. It feels like, we're going on a bit of a break, but we'll be back with more entertaining stuff. So it feels more like a season 1A, not a season 1. So who were y'all's favorite characters?
Corey by a country mile.
Anna Troy by 2 country miles.
Okay.
Fair point, Michael. Fair point.
But yeah, I do like what they did with Starfire, because Starfire, I may have talked about this in a previous newscast. I think it did. But the whole time that they've been building up this show, like, they kept showing her costume and it looks stupid. I mean, absolutely dumb. And everybody's like, this is weird. Whatever they're doing, we don't like it. And I didn't like it. Then I watched the show and it all made sense and it clicked. And it was pure acting on the actress's part. By which I mean, she took the role and really sold it as something completely different than what people were expecting. And it worked extremely well.
Yes, I would agree. Anna I'm sorry, I'm bad with names. She's phenomenal in the role. Like, she's really my favorite in the series as a whole. Donna Troy, well, Michael, I'll let you talk first.
No, go ahead.
Well, I like Donna Troy's character, but I don't think we saw enough of her. So I'm hoping we can get more of her in season 2. And maybe then I'll like her a lot? Not sure.
That's the thing about Donna, though. We didn't see her that much, so she didn't have a chance to get on my nerves. That's probably why I still like her.
Are you saying you have a short attention span and short patience span?
After 11 episodes, and I still don't know what they were trying to do with Corey, yeah.
Fair.
That's the thing, though, because Starfire, the story that they were trying to tell, it seemed like it was going to be really interesting and different, but it just didn't go anywhere. It sort of just falls apart, and I'm not going to spoil it, but towards the end of the season, it's almost like they forgot about it, and then they lost focus of what they were really trying to achieve with her. She just sort of fell into the background at one point.
I think that happened with Beast Boy, too. Like, Beast Boy was not not the character that people really wanted to see. Like, he's there, but he's really insignificant.
And I really think they did Beast Boy wrong, because, I mean, in Teen Titans, he transforms into all these different animals. And I know there was an article that said that purportedly in the episode 12 that got cut, that he was going to turn into an amphibious creature. But all we saw from him was he turned into a tiger. So I really think they did him short on there. Were we supposed to see Cyborg? I could have sworn we were supposed to see Cyborg.
So Cyborg was supposed to be introduced in the Doom Patrol, and then he was going to cross over probably once in a while in the next season. That's why he's in the promo for the Doom Patrol series.
Okay.
Which I actually like his look in that a lot. I like it better than the cinematic version. It just...
See, I do too!
At least the Snyder Cut.
But yeah, I really do like what they seem to be doing with his character, just on looks alone, because he actually looks, you know, like I imagine Cyborg would look.
Yeah, and he looks more of the teenaged version, more appropriate for the time than the cinematic version does. So that'll be exciting. But back on Titan. So Michael, we all know you're a Dick Grayson fan. So why didn't you like Dick Grayson's character, or did you like him, and what, tell us about him.
Tell us what you really think about Rick.
Dick.
That's a comics joke, people.
What? Ow! Okay, I get it now.
That's another rant for another podcast. We may have to do a comment. But yeah. So the thing that's really interesting about what Titans decides to do is they kind of take Dick Grayson and they age him up. So Dick Grayson, he's usually like 13 years old and he's Robin. Then you see him become Nightwing at like 17 or so. This show starts off, he's in his mid-20s. He's working in Detroit as a detective, and he's still being Robin once in a while. But now he kills people because Batman was a jerk or something. It's never really made clear. That's where my big problem comes with the character, is they never really explain what Batman did to push Dick that far off the edge. Even, mild spoilers, even at the end of the season, he's saying Batman's not a killer. Batman wouldn't do this. Batman wouldn't do that. But then the entire season, he's talking about how much Batman was a bad influence on him, and that's why he's going out stepping on people's necks and slamming their heads on shards of glass. And on the flip side of that, he's this caring, nurturing, dad-like figure to the rest of the team, which is closer to what Dick Grayson actually is. So, like the entire series, they felt like they didn't know what they really wanted to do with him at first. Towards the end of the season, it felt like they finally nailed down, this is the path we're going to take him on. And he grew on me after that.
I don't have a whole lot. I liked this version of Dick Grayson. I've heard some people who were like, it's the definitive live action version. And I'm like, maybe if we're talking about the actual ones that have existed in live action, but like, there's nothing definitive about this character. He's very, very radically different from the comics. He kills and doesn't seem to have a moral code about it. And he's sort of kind of a detective, but also sort of kind of not. And really my biggest problem with the character is the way he was written, because the actor's great, like really great actor. But yeah, they need a little bit of work in this next season, really making him Dick Grayson.
Yeah, y'all have basically both said my opinions on...
Just interjecting real quick, the definitive version of Dick Grayson is Burt Ward. Stop right there, everybody else.
That's pretty accurate, yeah.
Love or hate him, he's the one everyone's going to remember.
Yeah, I mean, Batman 66 is just classic for a reason.
So we're talking about a movie here?
Oh, no, the Adam West Batman.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm caught up now.
That's okay. Yeah, Burt Ward's not as well known as Adam West was. But yeah, he's... I would agree with Michael on that. They have not yet created a more definitive version in live action.
It's either that, Batman Forever, or Titans. So it's not a very big list to pull from, but...
We can burn Batman Forever. I'm okay with that. Okay, we can keep the Seal song, and that's it. Burn the rest of it.
Okay. Were there any comments on Raven's character?
Really solid introduction. I wanted to punch the guy in the school bus in the first episode who was talking to her. The scene, a lot of people were making fun of the scene in the nunnery where she's like talking to herself in the mirror as the glass floats across the room. But I actually thought that entire scene there was really solid. The only hokey thing was that the whole she's the destroyer of worlds thing, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just did this exact story arc. So... yeah, I think if they had known that, they probably wouldn't have done that. But yeah, aside from that, I like where they're going. It's interesting. They should have cast an older actress. But other than that, it's good.
Yeah, because her whole Beast Boy flirting with her thing, she's about, what, 11 or 12, I would say?
Actress is 14. Beast Boy's actor is 26.
So yeah, the casting could have been, like, in that regard, the casting could have been a little more picky, but I actually really like the actress, and I think she's done really well with what she's been given. Okay, any spoiler thoughts? Landon, I know you haven't seen the finale. Michael, talk about the finale.
Just spoil it for me! That's okay. Go for it.
Yeah, you agreed. You signed a notice that said I knew there was going to be spoilers in this podcast, yet I still agreed to do it. So.
By Jiminy's, I did. It was on my podcast lease.
Anyway, so the finale is really strange, because like we were saying earlier, it didn't feel like a season finale. It was mostly a character study of Dick Grayson, which is cool. And it was a really good episode, but it didn't feel like a finale. It's basically, we're in this alternate world. However we get there, I'm not going to really spoil that. Where Batman has become a psycho killer. He killed the Joker. He's killing all of the inmates in Arkham. And the only one who can stop him is Dick Grayson. Again, really cool premise. Not really a Titans season finale, because the rest of the team is, I think they're just... book in the episode, like right at the beginning and then right at the end, and we're just following Dick Grayson the entire time. So the problem is, we still can't show Batman. We see him in the shadows, we see the back of his head at one point, we see his cape blowing in the wind, but we're doing the story where Robin has to fight Batman without showing Batman, and that just causes a mess of problems. And that's really one of the problems that plagued the entire season, because we keep hinting at Batman. We even reference him by name, but they couldn't show him. And that really screwed them in the long run.
Yeah, they showed... I think the most they ever showed of him was they showed Bruce Wayne, the back of his head. And I made a comment on the Wabam Twitter that he looked like my Uncle David. Like, if you ever see a shot of my Uncle David, he looks exactly like him from the back. But that's, like, the extent of anything they showed of him. They pretty much just talk about him, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's a problem. They could have just done it like the Titans animated series, where you just don't mention him at all. They probably would have been way better off with just doing it that way. Or just make Dick Grayson Nightwing and not mention Batman whatsoever.
I would have done it like Wonder Woman. I would have done it like Wonder Woman in Ares, where Ares doesn't show up until the end, but he actually at least shows up, and it mattered. That's how I would have done it. But, you know, DC gonna DC, I guess.
Which is frustrating because we have Superman in Elseworlds just a couple weeks ago fighting alongside Team Arrow, Team Flash, but we can't get 5 minutes of Bruce Wayne. Didn't he have to be Batman, just Bruce Wayne?
The Batman stuff didn't really bug me to an aspect. In certain ways it did, but I really enjoyed the episode. It did have its issues, but it really didn't feel like a season finale, like we've said. And so I think if they had another episode after this, where maybe the entire team met the big bad Raven's father, I will spoil it for you. So I think if we'd had that 12th episode to really explore more of the ramifications of what happened to Dick Grayson, I think it could have been a more finite season, and it would have left us feeling more satisfied, even if it gave us a cliffhanger or anything. But I really think it was missing the mark on finale aspect. And other than that, though, I really enjoyed the episode. So
it was really good, but like you said, it shouldn't have been the end of the season. And that right there lets you know that there was a problem in the writer's room for this season. How do you not know what your season finale is going to be? They filmed an entire episode and just decided to not use it.
I'll tell you how. Akiva Goldsman. Like, not even joking. Akiva Goldsman is the guy who wrote Batman Forever, who I was just railing on a little bit ago. That tells you everything you need to know. And he is he's a good writer sometimes, but not most of the other time. And yeah, you can see where that kind of came to be. They did bring on other writers, but the fact that he was the orchestrator of the beginning, and then they kind of brought in Geoff Johns to kind of fix stuff, you can see where they were really, really, really unsure of what they wanted to do.
Maybe why they decided to cut the 12th episode. Yes, it takes a while to do this, but ultimately they probably had enough time to where they saw where the season was going, and they did some test runs. But there was reports that it was 12 episodes, and then at the beginning of the season it got cut to 11. So clearly they knew something was wrong, but they decided to make their best effort to fix it, maybe. Because I think the series got better as the season went on. But ultimately it had issues recovering from the beginning of the season and then lacking a finale.
I mean, the show, as soon as Hawk and Dove entered the show, it got good. Like, I'm low-key a really big fan of Dove in the show. And, yeah. So, as soon as both of those two characters hit the show, it started getting stakes. It started really starting to develop character arcs among all the characters, and that I appreciate.
But that episode was, what, three, maybe four episodes in?
Right, and that's the problem. The first three episodes of this show, you can honestly just cut and just start from episode four on. And even the second Hawk and Dove episode was pointless. It was a filler episode because they didn't even come back in the finale.
Which, it and that shows you where editing could have come in better, because at the end of that episode, they say they need to go find Jason with the second Robin, and we don't see him come back. So clearly they could have edited that episode, especially after they cut it down, and just been like, okay, we need to cut that part or something. Because that was really like, okay, maybe you see that happening in a season finale or something, but you don't see that happening in the set in the third to last episode of the season without some sort of finesse to it. Or finesse
and was Jason, not the right does word, show back up, but they never say why he shows back up. Was it Hawk and Dove getting him? What happens there?
Jason only shows up in the dream, doesn't he?
Exactly, but we're supposed to believe it's not a dream for like 30 minutes for some reason.
I don't know who would have believed that, because I totally knew it was a dream.
I don't know. Time jumps happen. Just look at Young Justice.
The pilot episode, I would say, is probably the most egregious, because like after you hit episode two, even, it just was completely irrelevant. The only relevant anything was the introduction of Raven. That's it. The only stuff you need to know in the pilot is the introduction of Raven. And after that, you can cut everything else. It was just filler. Barely introduce the characters. You get better introductions in the following episodes. They didn't need it. And the tone was off. The tone in the pilot is really, really dark. And then it starts to change and morph a little bit as the episodes go on.
The tone was all over the place. Then it gets really dark again. And then it tries to lighten up again. And it's just unbalanced. It's not working.
I think the darkest moment, and I know a lot of people love Jason Todd, but I think that scene with him in the warehouse where he just, you know, basically kills these cops for no reason is where the show almost jumps the shark. Like, it doesn't really give us a good reason for why he's doing that and why Batman's putting up with that.
That's, again, a problem with the show's tone. By making Dick Grayson as dark as he was, you had to make Jason Todd even more extreme. Because Jason Todd is basically Dick Grayson in the series. But Dick is so extreme and so brutal, you had to make Jason even worse.
I my only exposure to Jason Todd has been in the Batman Ninja, which really, really creeped me out about him and didn't make me like his character. But I did like the actor behind Jason Todd in Titan.
The actor's phenomenal. It's just that I thought the writing was a little extreme.
He's the most violent Robin. But when you make your good boy Robin a killer, you have a problem.
True, true.
But since you don't know much about Jason Todd, I suggest watching Batman Under the Red Hood. It's on DC Universe right now.
Okay, I will go watch it for you. I'll put it on my list.
Hashtag shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Sponsor us, DC. Even though we just ripped apart Titans.
Okay. So, do we have anything else about Titans?
Barbie.gif.
Rar.
How does that even make sense?
No, that's my review of the show in a nutshell. Barbie.gif.
You have to pay attention to the live tweets. Any expectations for season two? Anybody?
I feel like it'll be the season 1B. So I feel like once we get season two, ultimately the show will feel more complete to an extent. I'm hoping we get more of Donna Troy. And I'm hoping we get a little more into Corey's backstory, because I think there's more to it, and I think it's worth exploring. So
I agree.
I don't have any major predictions. I think there's a lot of ways they can go, and I think a lot will honestly depend on what they do with Doom Patrol, tone-wise, because they're in the same universe, and I'm sure that going forward, they're probably going to want to tie it together a little bit better.
There's one way they can tie the two together.
Cyborg!
Booyah!
Yeah, season two, I just need them to clean up the tone problems, because if you're going to be dark, that's fine, but you can't have it fluctuating every other episode.
I'd say the worst episode in terms of tone was the one where Robin goes and beats up the guy in his house with the kid. It was the episode, that moment, first of all, the moment was great because it was like a rebuke of the show's tone up to that point. But then the show does an about face and goes right back to that tone. So, I don't know.
The worst episode for me was The Asylum.
The worst episode for me was the Hawk and Dove like solo episode. Fair warning, there's a lot of pedophilia in that episode. So, if you don't like it, don't go watch it. You could probably skip that episode. So.
Oh, that's the one I haven't. Okay, that's the one I did skip. I need to go back on. Okay.
Parts of I think that one's called Hank and Dawn, right? The first one was called Hawk and Dove.
Yeah.
That one is really, really disturbing at parts and then really good at other parts, and that is Titans in a nutshell. Want to see my problems with Titans? Just watch Hank and Dove.
Dun 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 dun.
Okay. Anything else Titans related?
I'm good.
I like how we did the killing joke to Jason Todd in the finale instead of Barbara Gordon.
I missed that reference, apparently.
It happens. That's it.
Oh, okay, I get it now. Okay, moving on before I more by blonde shows. Let's talk about Young Justice. Michael, this is your show.
Oh. Yeah, Young Justice. Feels like I've done this already. Anyway, Young Justice. So, season 3 is coming back in a couple days, as of this recording. It has been canceled for about 6 years now, and somehow we willed it back into existence. So that's fun. First season was really good. Second season might be even better. Are we talking spoilers for this one?
I think it's been out long enough to where we can talk spoilers.
Brandon, do you have any interest in watching this show?
I have seen, I'll be upfront, I've seen 2 episodes of Young Justice. I've seen the episode where Miss Martian is revealed to be a white Martian, spoilers. And I've also seen the episode where Blue Beetle like has an identity crisis or whatever, and he's feuding with, I guess it's Superboy. I don't know. But anyways, I've seen those 2 episodes. And that's it. Although I am aware of the jokes involving the primary Justice League, I am aware of a lot of that in the show.
So, noted. Okay, big question. Are we saying bye to you now and you want to watch these and then be surprised, or you want to stick on?
Why would I do that? I am an expert on all things shows I have never seen before.
Okay, true. As long as we're not talking Lois Lane, we're good. So, anyways,
moving
on. Lois
Lane even in this show? I don't think she is.
No, I think Cat Grant is. Okay, so, season 1, Michael. Take it away.
Getting back on track, season 1. It's a more contained season than season 2. We only have a team of, 5, 6 members? It starts off with, basically the first episode starts off with the introduction of the sidekicks. And this is already a different series than Teen Titans, Because in Teen Titans, they didn't reference the Justice League at all. They were their own thing. This show, it starts out with Batman and Robin, Green Arrow and Speedy, Flash and Kid Flash, Aquaman and Aqualad. And so they want to enter the Justice League. So they think they're being inducted into the Justice League. But they're not. I guess Batman thought they weren't ready. So they go off on their own mission. And then they end up finding a clone of Superman, created by Lex Luthor. Turns out the clone is a good guy for a change. And then they start their own team. And then Batman's all like, okay, sure, you can be our spies. And so now we have basically this different fraction of the Justice League going on undercover missions, which is a really cool way on how they use the sidekicks, because most of the time when the Justice League teams up, they just sort of disappear for no reason. So that's really cool. Then they introduce more characters along the way, like Artemis and Miss Martian and Zatanna and Captain Marvel and stuff like that.
What were your thoughts overall on season one, like star rating such?
Season one, if I was doing a star rating, I would give it 4.5 out of 5, I guess. Mainly because the team dynamic is really strong. 4.5 of 5.
I thought you said 0.5 out of 5.
I did too! Okay.
Whoa, bro.
I don't even hate Titans that much. Jeez. I don't think I've ever given anything something that low.
Wait a second. Is this star ratings or Lois Lane rating?
Star ratings. The
difference.
Okay, all right.
I give it 5 Amy Adams out of 5, I guess.
I dig it.
Okay, cool. So comparing it to, again, like Titans, the team dynamic is a lot stronger here because most of the characters already knew each other going into it. And we're really just uncovering mysteries on the villain in the show is called the Light. They're basically the Legion of Doom. We don't know who's in the Legion of Doom or the Light or who's the leader of it. And then they find out there's a mole on the team. So we have to figure out who that is. And it's just mystery after mystery, kind of like Scooby-Doo. It's really fun because it's more self-contained. You learn about Kid Flash and Artemis and Robin and Miss Martian. Season 2 is a lot more focused on Aqualad's character, but he's also really strong in this. The characters are just fun, man. That's pretty much the best part of Season 1. Season 2 is another story.
So, I won't talk much about Season 1 because you can read my Season 1 review this coming week on WobamEntertainment.com. So I won't. I'll let you go read it instead of listen to me rant on and on. I wouldn't rank it as high as Michael did. I would say it's about a 4 out of 5. I do like the team dynamic. However, there were just some things where I was expecting. Maybe it was a little much. I will admit that. But I was expecting certain things to happen, and they went a different direction, and I didn't really like the way they went. The Light is a weird villain to me. I don't necessarily like that aspect, though I get it. There are just some things that just irked me that I just, yeah.
This is a spoiler discussion. What is it that you were expecting and you didn't get?
So, I don't like Speedy being the mole. I just don't like that.
Who would you rather it have been, or would you have not gone with the mole storyline at all?
I wouldn't have gone with the mole. Like, I just, I don't know.
I thought that was a really clever twist, because he was the one who started the whole there's a mole on your team debate anyway, because nobody was even thinking about it.
Like, if you look at any mystery novel or, like, any mole story, typically the one who is the mole is the one who starts spreading rumors that there's a mole. Like, it was blatantly obvious. Like, as soon as he said, there's a mole on your team, I was like, okay, and the mole is you. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I get that. Especially since you knew it couldn't have been Artemis, because that would have been too obvious. She was the new person. Her father's the villain. Her sister's the villain. Of course she'd be the mole.
Yeah.
But yeah, they saved themselves with that one for me, because him being the mole wasn't the shocking part. Him being a clone, that's what was shocking.
Okay, but if you were paying attention in the beginning, like, when you go into Cadmus's lab and you see the clone of Superboy, and they go to make clones of the other three, Robin, Kid Flash, and Aqualad, I mean, it was kind of obvious. Okay, so clearly they've used this technique before, and who knows? Maybe they've actually, like, put someone in. Like Speedy, for instance. I know. I saw everything coming, so it was just like, eh.
See things coming and still have fun, though. Like Aquaman. True.
That is true. Aquaman was a very predictable film, but it was very fantastic, too.
Go.
Yeah, so?
My only point is predictability is not a indicator of good or bad. It just means that you saw something coming.
It was a bad thing for me. And who knows? Maybe if I had approached this with, like, the kid mindset. But, I mean, I've watched NCIS, CSI, like, Criminal Minds. Like, I've seen all these plot twists. And I've been watching them for a while. So maybe I'm just different and such.
What we're getting from this is that you're a better detective than Oliver Queen and Bruce Wayne.
Yes!
They didn't catch it.
Facts.
Thank you very much.
I see no lies. Gibsmack.gif.
Hey, there was no pun to use. You can't use that.
It doesn't have to be a pun.
Inside jokes that no one's going to understand. Nice.
Yes. I love jokes.
Okay. Season 2.
Am I going to have to do the whole rundown again?
Yes.
Season 2 starts off with a standard mission. Most second seasons or sequels start off with this big action moment, just getting you back into everything. Robin, Superboy, Miss Martian, and now Beast Boy are taking down Clayface. Clayface is actually a pretty unique Batman villain, but that's another podcast about my favorite Batman villains. They're fighting Clayface. Then we find out that Robin doesn't quite look right. And then Robin phones in Nightwing. And then the camera pans out and it just says 5 years later. So Robin's a completely different person at this point, which kind of caught me by surprise. I'm sure it caught everybody by surprise, because at this point we're just thinking Bumblebee and Beast Boy are the new additions to the team. Turns out the team is three times as big as when we left it. And we took a 5-year time jump. A lot of stuff is revealed after that, like some characters dying, some characters becoming villains. It's a lot happened. And that season was actually 6 episodes shorter than season 1. And they just went balls to the wall on it.
So I haven't watched season 2 recently. But so I can't go into like a whole lot of detail. I actually liked season 2 a lot more than I liked season 1. I'd give it maybe like a 4.75, because I did have some issues with it, but I can't really remember what those issues are. So who knows, maybe when I finish watching season 2 so I can get ready for season 3, maybe I'll be like, nope, never mind, it's 5 out of 5. I don't know. But I liked having Nightwing in the show. I think it made it a lot different. And it allowed a sense, it brought more of a sense of like adult to the show, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Cause like the first season felt more like a kid's show, and like the second season felt more like the Justice League animated show. Francis, if that makes sense.
I get that.
So I really enjoyed season two a lot more. I liked how the Justice League was a little bit more involved, but that's because I really like those characters, and the younger kid characters, I haven't really known a whole lot of them. So, I don't know. I liked it better.
Yeah, season two, they grew up a lot. Especially, I think, because I'm reviewing season two, ironically. Probably should have switched that, considering looking back on it, huh? Yeah, season two, Dick Grayson goes from Robin to Nightwing, which is interesting because there's a 5-year gap where we don't know what happened. I know they made comics on it, but I haven't read them. I assume y'all haven't read them, so that's
yeah, irrelevant. I haven't.
Not me.
So in those 5 years, he became Nightwing, yet he's still really close to Batman, which is kind of funny considering what Titans did with the two of them.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
It is. It's really fun. They're like best friends in Young Justice, and they can't stand each other in Titans. Like I said, Aqualad really got a chance to shine in season two because, again, spoilers, we find out that he's Black Manta's son, and Aquaman didn't tell him that, so he goes and joins the Light.
Whoa. That's a big, big reveal right there.
No. Now, again, do you want me to keep spoiling this, or are you going to go watch it?
Just keep going. I'm just saying, that's a, like, in terms of characterization, that's huge.
Very huge. In a good way. That's why they created the character of Calderon, I assume, because he's not an Aqualad from the comics that I know of. That twist was really big, and it all happened in this time jump that we never get to see, and I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Well, and that could be the extra, that could be the way they add more seasons of Young Justice, is they go back and they fill in that 5-year gap. I don't know. Just throwing ideas out there.
It would be a good idea. The comics are what makes me think they're probably not, because they're going to just be like, just read the book. You never know. Same thing with Avatar, I guess. Those comics are probably never going to be made into cartoons or anything.
See, I actually read those, and I enjoyed those.
Promise and The Search are so good, but again, not going on Avatar. You're going to have a completely different rant. Yeah, so Aqualad is a villain. Then it gets even crazier, because we find out he's not a villain. He's a double agent working with Nightwing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Whoa.
Yeah, it gets really crazy. That, I'm going to stop with the spoilers from there, because I have to save something for Landon. But there's like two more twists after that, and it just really keeps you on your toes and really keeps you guessing. My only problem
is I'm intentionally forgetting some of this stuff, so don't.
Well, so the twist you aren't mentioning, I won't mention either. But I did not see that coming. Like, I thought it was a really interesting addition to have that. Okay, Landon, you're just screwed because I can't describe this.
Just spill the beans.
Artemis goes in as a secondary undercover agent with Aqualad and becomes Tigress. And so I really thought that was interesting because at the beginning of season two, Artemis and Kid Flash have actually retired. And so they're a boyfriend and girlfriend, and they're, like, living together. But Dick and Calderon actually come back and ask her to join in. And so she does. And so she goes undercover with Calderon, and she's a really great addition to the Light aspect. But then she comes back around and is able to help the Young Justice Leaguers. I can't ever remember the name of that team.
It's literally just the team. They have no
the
name.
The team! There we go! So, I really liked her as Tigress.
Lost too many archers that season. Arsenal doesn't shoot arrows. Red Arrow disappeared, and then Artemis starts using bow staffs and swords. It made me sad.
I know. I like archery. Archery's fun.
Tigress was a really good addition. Another good addition is Blue Beetle. I really liked what they did with Blue Beetle and Impulse. Only problem is we're starting to get too many characters, and that became an issue.
Yeah, like I couldn't because they did what Supergirl does for me, where they try to like focus on too many different characters, and it's very confusing. Maybe that was the reason it was a 4.75 instead of a 5. I don't know. But yeah, there was a little too many characters, and especially for being considered a kid show, maybe it would have been better to just have a set number and maybe have the rest as a supporting cast but not focused on their stories to be a better introduction to newer generations about who certain characters are. I don't know.
Yeah. Because in season 2, like Wally West doesn't show up for, I think he's only in maybe 3 episodes that season. And then the last episode we see him in pisses everybody off. So, not spoiling that one, but yeah, that sucked. And then you have characters who are just there, like Bumblebee and Guardian and Wonder Girl. What? Who is Wonder Girl? Why is she here? What's her name? I don't remember. It wasn't Donna Troy, so I don't know who this woman was. But yeah, then they wanted to focus on new characters like Impulse and Blue Beetle. Even Beast Boy didn't get that much screen time, which he's 0 for 2 on this podcast. So we're going to have to do a Teen Titans podcast just to make up for it.
Beast Boy gets the short end of the stick every time. Poor dude. It's been a rough year for Beast Boy, except for that one animated movie. I guess he kind of made it okay in that.
No, but when he's on screen, he's cool. Just like all the characters, not one character was bad, I would say. They just didn't get enough screen time. They wrote themselves into a corner by making a team of 6 into a team of 16.
I listened to an audio drama podcast one time that did the same thing, and it fell apart. So the fact that the show didn't fall apart is actually rather remarkable, but at the same time.
It's still a very great season. And it really surprised me when it didn't get removed, because there's a huge cliffhanger at the end. And that's all I remember, is that there's a cliffhanger at the end.
The cliffhanger at the end, and we had to sit with that for 6 years.
Yeah.
And it sucks, because every person I knew who was watching it immediately texted me, how'd they go cancel it after that? That was in 2013. It'd be worse. It could have just not been picked up, right?
Yep.
Yeah, season 2, with all those problems that I just mentioned, is still somehow stronger than season 1. I enjoyed it more than season 1.
Yep. Is.
Oh, there was a new character that I love that they added. Gordon Godfrey, the news anchor, was amazing. So Tim Curry plays G. Gordon Godfrey, and every moment he's on screen, he elevates it. It's amazing.
Tim Curry's in this show?
Yes.
Well, you just increased my interest level in Young Justice.
He hams it up even more than he usually does. It's amazing. He's only in maybe 2 scenes max every other episode or so. But when he's there, it is godly.
Yeah, there are a few actors as good as Tim Curry.
He was part of that cliffhanger, so I'm hoping we see him in season 3. And maybe shrink the team a little bit.
I think they could, realistically, especially with it being, because it's a 5-year time jump, right?
I was about to ask, are we doing another time jump? Because that would put us 10 years after season 1.
I think it's a 5-year time jump.
Oof.
Yeah, I heard somebody say that it was going to be like a consistent with how many years the show has been off the air.
That'll be about 5 or 6, yeah.
I think it's funny how between season one and season two, there was a 5-year time jump. We realistically just caught up with season two in real time. So season three, I know you guys saw the promo images. It looks like they added Spoiler, another Archer. I'm just going to call this one Speedy 2. And then they added Static. Static was introduced in season two. So it looks like the team's getting even bigger unless somebody joined the Justice League or retired or died. I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Yeah. I guess we will see next week or this Friday, whenever this comes out.
Keep dating this episode. So yeah, it's going to be Friday.
So, transition. Any thoughts on and hopes and dreams for season three?
Hopes. Kid Flash returns. Dreams. Jason Todd returns. And things that probably aren't going to happen, Supergirl shows up.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think Supergirl's going to show up.
It would undermine Superboy, especially since all he can do is leap tall buildings in a single bound. He would just overpower him. There would be no reason for him to even be there anymore.
Yeah, fair point. But, I mean, he was a starting member. I don't know.
So was Kid Flash.
Kid Flash died doing good.
I think they should introduce a junior reporter who... Junior reporter.
No, cannot talk about Lois Lane for another year.
I'm not. I'm saying they need to introduce a junior reporter into the show. Because you've got Superboy, so why don't just introduce a junior reporter? Doesn't have to be.
Okay, that's as far as you're going with that.
That's literally all I was going to add.
Uh-huh, sure. Sure, Jan.gif.
All right, when have I ever lied to you, ever?
Sure, Jan.
Wow. I feel attacked.
What do I? I wasn't even in this conversation.
Okay. I want to see the results of what happened in season two. But after that, I'm really just hoping that they choose to focus down more on certain characters versus having so many character arcs. I mean, we're getting 4 episodes this week and then 3 episodes until the end of January, and then they come back in July. So I'm really hoping we can focus more down on main characters versus the team.
That's the thing with an ensemble cast. Who do you consider the main characters? Who would you want them to focus on? That could be anybody.
I would want them to focus on Nightwing. I'd want to know why Aqualad has turned into Aquaman. And I'd want to see more on Megan and Superboy. And I would be in a happy place then.
Just the original team.
Yep.
Gotcha.
You could maybe add in like 1 or 2 more characters. Like I could see someone Beast Boy or somebody else. Like, I don't know. But after that, like, that's good enough for me. I don't need any more characters. Like, they're part of the team. Maybe someone like the Kid Robin. Maybe that's like the second character you add in there. So.
Yeah, and we got to remember the end of season two, Nightwing left the team. So, does he join back in that time jump? Yeah. So, how are they going to rope him back in?
Clearly, he gets roped back in somehow.
Even the clip that they showed of him, it's just him on a mission talking to Oracle. So, that doesn't even show that he's on the team. Also, I guess Barbara got paralyzed. So yeah. That sucked.
It's been 5 years, so, I mean.
The Killing Joke has happened. They're in the same universe, right?
No.
Shh. Okay, can you pretend I know something?
Let it out so you sound like you know something.
I wait a minute. I'm going to take up for this aspect because I have this hunch with DC that basically there are universal constants that happen across the DC universe, and the creation of Oracle is one of them. So, yes, the Killing Joke is controversial, but Oracle was such a popular character once they created her that, like, bringing in Oracle makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, the Killing Joke probably totally happened, but if we're talking about the animated movie being canon, it is not.
Oh, that, I didn't think that was the question. So never mind, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's something that always happens, like you said, a constant. The Waynes get killed, Krypton blows up, Oracle gets shot. Another thing is the Speed Force doesn't exist in this universe as of yet. Maybe they could play around with that. Maybe that's how we can get our favorite redhead out.
I thought that's how Wally died.
We assume that's how Wally died, but the show never introduced the Speed Force. They don't even have the lightning or anything. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe we can get him back because Barry or Bart discovers the Speed Force.
How is he using his powers without the Speed Force? I don't understand how you do that.
Got struck by lightning, and he runs really fast. That's it.
Okay, fine.
I mean, the Speed Force is a relatively new thing for the Flash, right? It wasn't a part of his original origin.
I could not tell you. We can ask Brandon later.
That is a good
Brandon,
point.
Help! Jason, help!
No, I mean, everything I've ever known about the Flash, I've known about the Speed Force, so I'm, you know, a little bit surprised at this moment.
Yeah, I don't think that was until, like, the 80s or so. So they probably just went that route, and they're going to introduce it this way. I assume that's how we're going to get Wally back, if we get Wally back.
I don't think we're getting Wally back, as much as you have hopes and dreams.
The voice actor keeps pretending he's coming back, so...
Alrighty, well, any further thoughts?
We've got a ton of stuff going up on the website, so all my thoughts are going to be there.
Yep, so check us out. We're having Young Justice Week right now, as of this episode going live. So make sure you check all of it on the whoopamentertainment.com.
It's the place to be.
Especially for a Lois Lane fan.
That's right.
All right, so where can we find y'all on social medias?
You can find me at The Bellman. That is the B-E-A-L-L because my ancestors couldn't spell. And you can find me at Storybake on YouTube.
And you can find me at MTJR_15 on Twitter. And also my writing at whoopamentertainment.com.
Dang it, they're pulling an Elseworlds world on us. Sorry, guys.
I'm the Flash.
You have failed this city.
Always been my lightning rod.
And you could find me, if people would quit interrupting me, at KGILSTRAP13, that's KGILSTRAP with the number 13 on the end. And make sure you check us out at WabamENT on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for all of our story updates and for all of our series information. So thanks for listening tonight, guys. We'll see y'all next time.
Been Crash.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Wabam Entertainment Podcast. For more from Wabam Entertainment, visit us on the web at wabamentertainment.com. You can let us know what you thought of this episode on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WabamENT. Thanks for listening. We'll see y'all next time.